actually written in the Bible, evolution is a lie.
No.
Well, that's wrong then. You shouldn't put that there.
Why shouldn't I?
Saying Genesis.
I can put what I want there. It's my saying.
Well, but you can't.
Freedom of speech, sir.
You can't say the Bible in Genesis 1, chapter 1, is saying evolution is a lie. That's wrong.
That's the statement, and that's the proof that that's true. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says what?
But you know,
what does it say? What does it say?
That says to the passerby, Genesis in 1:1 says evolution is a lie.
That's how you choose to read it, sir.
You're blinded it, my friend.
No, sir. That's you're better at it.
Terrible misrepresentation of the Bible. As a practicing Christian, that's a terrible misrepresentation of the Bible. You should be ashamed.
No, sir. It's true. It's true. Perhaps maybe the Bible is a book that you never read for yourself. Taking the opportunity to, the opportunity is given you this afternoon to receive a copy of God's Word and to, well, to read, to check out the things that I see, that they are indeed in accordance with what God has caused to be written in His book in the Bible. Evolution is a lie. That's not a statement from the Bible, but of course it is very seriously backed up from the Bible. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 is the first verification of that, because that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And everything, of course, in the heavens and the earth, God created too. So you like a copy of God's Word, the Bible, to take with you. Check some of these things out for yourself. Maybe perhaps you get a surprise to discover that it's not about some instituted religion, but rather about a person whose name is Jesus, and he is declared to be and proved to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. And this person, of course, is the appointed Savior, the one appointed to save and to deliver men from their sin, bring them back to God, and to give them the hope of eternal life as opposed to eternal damnation. In the Bible, of course, well, you can read these words also for yourself from the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 5, it says, God says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. The universal sickness of sin, of course, that continues through the generations and will do to the end of the age, when God wraps everything up and brings world history as we know it to an end and judges the world in righteousness. Universal sickness of sin continues to weary men and women in all nations all over the earth. It's not a problem that's common to the United Kingdom, the Western Hemisphere. It is a universal sickness, affects the whole of mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is God's indictment of the entire human race. As men and women, some at least anyway, weary of their sin, God declares that there's hope in Him. Turn to me, He says, all you ends of the earth, and of course that for salvation. Of course, the world over, as in our own nation here today, men and women put their trust in idols, in idolatrous religion, false religion, every and any religious activity or idea, concept outside of the Bible, outside of God's word, is nothing but idolatrous religion. It is not belief in God, it is idolatry, which of course God thoroughly condemns in His word and His law. It is to be repented of and the true and living God turned to through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order to obtain salvation. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, says God, for I am God and there is no other. There is only one God, and all paths do not lead to that one God, as many of you, of course, have been tainted with that notion. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, gets right with God, that is, but by me.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir. And you too.
Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, you see, people, it's false religion, corrupt ideas, you know, the futile thinking of men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. It is for this reason that the wrath of God is being revealed against all such suppression of the truth. Here is the thing, people, that all men know. A child, when it is born, before it knows anything else, it knows that God is. You know, each and every single one of you, you may not be willing or prepared to acknowledge it, but each and every one of you know that God is the true and living God, that is. Know that God is, whether you care to acknowledge it or not. God says He has made it plain to you, He has shown it to you, and you understand it. But like all men born in sin, you suppress that truth in unrighteousness. Sin abounds the world over. Turn to me and be saved. All the ends of the earth, says God. Wherever you come from, whatever you're thinking, false thinking, wrong thinking, corrupt politics, false religion, idolatrous religion, the confederacies of men, United Nations, United States of Europe, all put together can't save, can't deliver men and women and the nations from the weariness, the toilsomeness of sin. Only turning to God, the only Savior, through His Son Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the true and living God, is salvation to be found. But it is turning to Him, it is looking to Him in faith, in the way of repentance. Repentance is always towards faith. The kingdom of God is at hand, says Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. The two go together. Look to me, turn to me, says God, and be saved and find salvation. Of course, what God means by looking, of course, is an admission of the reality of God. Some people, they come to me asking for proof, asking for evidence that God is. And my answer to that question each and every time is an emphatic no. Because you do not need evidence. You do not need proof that God exists. You know that He exists. Your place is simply and only to raise the white flag and surrender to God, an admission of God's existence and His reality, and for you to change your mind on that matter. That is to cease from your suppression of the truth, to turn from such suppression and such self-deception, which of course professed atheism indeed is. To forsake such, to repent, of course, means simply a change of mind. And first and foremost, of course, about the being of God, an admission of the reality of God, and to enthrone Him in your minds and in your hearts. In the Bible, you can read these words for yourself, if you please, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile, moronic, that means, in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. That suppression, you see, of the truth. God, it will not send anybody to hell. God will not punish anyone for not believing in the God that they did not know existed. But God will send people to hell for not believing in the God that they did know existed. We all, each and every single one of us, know that God is. And of course, the professed atheist does not want there to be a God for the same reason that a thief doesn't want there to be a policeman. But I've got bad news for you if you're a thief. There are policemen. But I've got good news for you if you're a professing atheist. God is. And you know it. And you need to raise the white flag and surrender in submission, in admission of the reality of God. And instead of suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, to enthrone him in your mind and to allow him to rule by grace in your hearts. Turn to me and be saved. That's where salvation begins. An admission of the true and living God. A repentance, a turning in your mind, and God ruling by his word in your heart and mind. Addressing him, of course, in thankfulness. Thankfulness that, well, that you're not already in hell. Thankfulness that you have his word addressing you. Thankfulness for all the good things that you enjoy and that you're able to do, because God has revealed knowledge to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Bible says. Unless God had revealed knowledge to you, you wouldn't be able to do the many things that you do in your world, in your universe. You talk about science, a science being the answer to everything, almost as though it was a magic word. As soon as God is the subject of God is raised, and of course your God's claim over you, out comes this word science or scientist, as though it was some magic mantra that brought the universe into being. People, you could not do science. You could not do thinking. You could not even have a meaningful thought unless God had revealed knowledge to you. According to evolution, of course, all you are is just a piece of primordial dust. You know, a bit of stardust that broke off the natural and the material universe. And magically you became able to think, you know, intelligence, and to do all these wonderful and scientific things. You get that from matter. In the beginning, there was nothing, nothing at all. But out of that nothing came something. And that something became an explosion, and that something became intelligent, became moral, became rational. I don't think so. I don't think so, people. that's a fairy tale. No, it's not even worthy of such credibility as a fairy tale, or even a theory. It's a lie out of the very pit of hell, and one, of course, that you use to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, the truth of God. You can't do, you couldn't do science, you can't do thinking, you can't do morality, you claim. Well, you know, you complain about murder and theft, and, you know, somebody breaks into your home. Why do you complain about it if you're an evolutionist? Somebody murders your wife, your son, your daughter, one of your siblings. Why do you complain about it if you're an evolutionist? You know, isn't that survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say you believe? But of course you don't really believe it. Because if you really believed it, you'd give up your morality. Because you've got no basis for morality if you're an evolutionist. You cannot be a real atheist and cling to any form of morality, because that comes from the God of the Bible. But of course you don't live consistently with what you claim, what you say you believe. So you see, an admission, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, says God. A turning to and looking to God for salvation, it begins with an admission that the true and living God, that He is, and that He's your Maker, and the only one who can save and deliver you from the ravages and the weariness of sin. Addressing Him in thankfulness for all the things that you are able to do, science and philosophy and ethics, all of these things. All the wonderful things, the food that He places on your table day by day. I feel very sorry for you who profess to be atheists. You know, when you get that feeling of thankfulness and you've got nobody to thank, that must be terribly frustrating and, well, distressing even. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, God says, for I am God and there is no other. It's an acknowledging of Him as the only Savior, through His Son, of course, Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world to be the Savior of the world. No other name, says the Bible, under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Only the name of God's Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Salvation, you see, is not to be found in your world religions. It's not to be found in Islam. It's not to be found in Roman Catholicism. It's not to be found in pagan religion, Buddhism or Confucianism. It's to be found only in God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who gave you being and the one who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. I am the only way, Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father only through me. You cannot be saved and you cannot get right with God by any other way or any other means. The only Savior, God. And of course, well, anticipating His answering you when you turn to Him for salvation, cry to Him. And continuing on, of course, until he answers you, what the Bible means, of course, by seeking the Lord until you find Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Elsewhere in the Bible, God says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Ask, says Jesus, and you will find. Seek, and ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened up to you. But of course, you see, it's a keep on asking, it's a keep on seeking, it's a keep on knocking until the door is opened up to you. It's a seeking Him, of course, with some diligence. You know, the same way in which you've relentlessly, you're diligently pursued after your sinful course, you know, that's brought the weariness of mind, body and soul to you. Is diligently, you know, some of you, you would think nothing of crossing the Atlantic Ocean. You know, time and resources and finance, you know. You would cross the Atlantic Ocean to commit adultery. You wouldn't think twice about it. Well, with the same diligence, you know, with the same abandonment, if you like, you know, seeking after God. Until that is, you find continuing on, waiting upon Him, coming to Him again and again, and crying to Him until you know that you have eternal life, until you know that your sins have been forgiven, taken away, you see. This is the heart of the gospel, friends. You know, the forgiveness of sins, you see. Only through God, only through the Savior God of the Bible, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world for this very reason and purpose, you see, to save, to rescue sinful men and women, lost in their sin and wearied by their sin. There's hope in the gospel, you see, but you need to know where to go. You need to know who to go to in order to obtain that forgiveness. Not a pope, not a priest. It's not some other religious guru, but to Jesus Christ and Him alone, who alone has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. You see, unless you heard the words of absolution from the lips of Jesus Christ Himself, I tell you, you're still in your sins. You might be religious. You might do the five pillars of Mecca. You might do the seven stations of the cross. You might do the beads and the incense. But I tell you this, you might have kissed the feet of the Pope, but you're still in your sin. There's only one person in all this, all eternity and all the universe and all the world, who has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. And that's Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God. He alone has that authority. And so in faith, you see, in repentance and faith, it's a turning to and a seeking after forgiveness, you see, from the only one who can dispense it to you. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He alone, He is the only mediator between God and man. So turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other, says the Lord. That means, you see, the admission that God is the true and living God, that He is and that He is a Savior God, addressing Him, you know, in gratitude and thankfulness for His goodness to you. Acknowledging Him as the only way of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, and waiting in faith, anticipating His answer positively to forgive your sins. The salvation, of course, that you should be turning to Him for and looking for, anticipating, is the pardon of your sins, you see, through the atoning blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the very reason, the purpose for which Jesus came into the world. To make peace, you see, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Christ, by the blood of His cross, the Bible tells us, made peace, you see, for the world. But of course, that peace, it has to be received. That peace, you see, has to be willingly and consciously and deliberately received by you. And you receive that peace when you receive the Son of God. He came to His own, the Bible says, but His own did not receive Him. But to as many as did receive Him, who believed in His name, to them He gave the right, the power, the authority to become children of God. So you see, is seeking for, is looking for pardon, for forgiveness, you see, through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer, he asks the question, he says, "What will wash away my stain?" And he says, he answers his own question, he says, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again?" And he answers, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else, you see, will take away your sin. Nothing else will remove the defilement. Nothing else, you see, nothing else will bring you to that place, you see, of forgiveness, of rightness with God, reconciled to God." You see, here's the trouble and why the world's in trouble. And the world's always in trouble. That's why wars go on, that's why the killing and the slaughtering goes on, generation after generation. It never ceases because man never ceases to be a rebel from God, alienated from God. How can there be peace in the world? How can there be peace in your society, in your hearts and homes, as long as there is enmity against God? As long as you're at war with God, there will never be peace. Never be peace in your hearts or in the world. As a man's greatest need, you see, in any day and any generation, people, is to have peace with God, is to have this alienation, this breach, you see, between man and God, brought to an end. Reconciliation, you see, is what the cross is about. Jesus died to make reconciliation, and here I am, God's servant, amongst you this afternoon, imploring you to be reconciled to God. And there is but one way, and that's through the cross, through the atoning blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. "Come to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other," says the Lord. Looking, turning to God, you see, for pardon and for preparation, you see, for the, you know, for the reception of God's grace, you see. But it's only received in the way of repentance and faith. And repentance and faith, these are not things that you can do yourself. These are gifts from God, the Bible tells us. Both of them. A man cannot repent of himself. You cannot repent and believe the gospel any more than you could pull yourself up by your bootlaces. These are gifts that come from God, you see. And God gives them, well, in grace, you see, to whoever he pleases to give them to. But no man ever even desired to repent. No one ever desired to believe. Until that is, God changed the nature, changed the heart. You see, here's the heart of the problem. That we're born in sin, you see. Yes, sir.
I agree with you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Modern science proves that.
Yes.
Evolution's nuts, right?
No, that's right, that's right.
Because entropy, we're not from the higher to lower.
No.
That's all, cannot be naturally from the order to the disorder. Disorder to order.
Yep.
That's,
degenerating. Yep.
Yeah. The second heat law. Prove that evolution is not right.
That's it. Yep. God bless you, sir. Have a good day. Thank you. So there you go. There you have it, people. Evolution is a lie. Well, I've been telling you. So preparation, you see, repentance, faith, you see, these are gifts from God. No one ever desired to do these things. You know, until you're born again, you see, Jesus says you must be born again. Except a man is born again, he can't see, perceive, that is, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. But you don't desire these things. You know, you're either one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater, or you're a supernaturally reborn God lover. But no one ever loved God, desired God, wanted to repent, wanted to believe, until God changed their hearts, changed their natures. And that's what the new birth is about. And that's why you must be born again, you see. But is turning to God, you see, for salvation. Turn to me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God and there is no other. No other who can give you these gifts of which I speak, the gift of repentance, to turn from your sin, to change your mind, and begin to think God's thoughts after him, instead of the futile thinking of an atheistic and blinded and futile mind. And to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So it's turning to God, you see, and turning to him for salvation, whoever you be, wherever you come from, whatever your background is, whether it's an Amazon jungle, a Middle Eastern desert, or the Western concrete jungles that we live in. And of course, to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Because without the operations of God's Holy Spirit, you see, a man cannot be born again. Well, you know, the wind blows, you feel the effect of it, you don't know where it comes from. And so Jesus says it is with the Holy Spirit. You don't know where he comes from, but he's operating, you know, through the ministry, the proclamation of the gospel. And you know, when he's about you, when he's working in you, well, you feel the effects, you know, and the effects are, of course, that, well, you begin to desire these things. You begin to desire to be right with God. You begin to feel weariness of sin, you know. You begin to feel the unacceptability of sin, you know. You begin to feel unclean and dirty and separated from God, you know. Because, well, the first things that he does, you see, is to convince a person that they are sinful. Stand here all day and talk to you about your sin, but never convince you. I couldn't do that. Couldn't give you one single anxious thought about your sin. It's only God's Holy Spirit who can do that. But that's what he does, you see, when he comes through the preaching of the gospel to a man or woman. They begin to be convinced in a way that they never were before, that they are sinful, are vile, are cut off from God, unacceptable to God, and need to be saved. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other, says the Lord. And of course, turning to him and looking to him, you know, for grace, for sustaining grace, you know, to be kept in the spiritual life. Maybe you think to yourself, well, you know, if I was to become a Christian, I wouldn't keep it up, you know. I'd be back to my old ways. You know, I've tried to change myself before, you see, and before long I'm back to my old ways again. But here's the thing, people, when God saves somebody, he keeps them. When God delivers a person from their sin, he delivers them from it. He finishes the work that he begins. You begin to do something, you know, and you get weary of it, tired of it, and you put it aside, you don't finish it. But when God takes up something or somebody, he finishes the work that he begins. It's not down to you, you see. You don't choose him, he chooses you. Without me, Jesus says, you can't do nothing. You can save yourself from one single sin, never mind all your sin. Only Jesus can do that, and only Jesus can keep you on the pathway, heading for glory, heading for heaven, instead of eternal destruction. Two pathways Jesus lays before you, two gates and two pathways, narrow gate, narrow pathway that leads to eternal life. And of course, the wide gate and the wide pathway that leads to eternal destruction. Which one are you on? Is the message of the cross, is the message of the gospel, is it foolishness to you? That's proof, that's evidence that you're on the pathway to perdition. Unless you enter through the narrow gate, unless you travel down the narrow pathway, kept by Jesus, held by Jesus, walking with Jesus, all the way, every step of the way, up the hill difficulty, through the valley of the shadow of death, all the way to glory. God, by his grace, you see, when he graciously makes a man or woman a Christian, he graciously keeps them too. It's all of grace, sovereign, free grace. It's all of God, not of you, not of me, not of man who wills or runs, but God who shows mercy. It's all down to God, you see, in the end, not you or me. I can only tell you the truth. I can only point you in the right direction. I can only point you to the right one. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I can only point you to Jesus and bid you turn to him and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. That's the voice of the Son of God. That's the voice of Jesus imploring you to come to him, to turn from your sin, to believe on his name and be saved, because there is no other Savior. And of course, in this there is a promise, is there not? Turn to me and be saved. There is the thought, there is the not, that you will be saved if you turn to him. I mean, it's his command. He bids you to look. He bids you to look. There's a sense in which you could say it's not really an invitation, it's a command, because it comes from God Almighty. And he commands, he's in a place to command, he's God, you're not. You're just a man, proudful man or woman, tiny little speck of dust, sinful dust at that, on the horizon of God's universe. What do you got to be proud of? What's man that he should be proud? You do all your great and wonderful deeds and then you cease to be. You go the way of all the earth. You go the way of all flesh. Pointed for man to die once, and after this, then comes the judgment. I don't get it, when men are full of pride and arrogance, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Yeah? You're going to go your holidays in the summertime, you may not live that long. Yeah? You're going to do this, you're going to build empires, you're going to build kingdoms, you're going to change the world. Yeah? Silly little men and women who are no things, absolutely nothing. All the nations put together, God says, they're like a drop in a bucket in comparison to him, the incomparable God. So I see people got nothing to be proud of, and got nothing to offer God. Nothing but your sins, nothing that you can call your own but your sin. If there's anything good in you at all, you got it from God. Nah, nothing at all, people. Only your sin. Bring them to the cross. Bring them to Jesus. Seek his forgiveness. Seek his pardon. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. No other Savior. His promise, you see. And of course, you can take God's promises. They're not like the promises of your politicians. They're not like the promises of your fellow human beings. Promise that comes from the God who does not and cannot lie. Yeah, there are some things that God can't do. One of them is tell lies. Is that a man that he should lie? He speaks the truth. Always speaks the truth. Cannot tell you a lie. But here he promises salvation to the one who turns to him through his Son Jesus Christ. Believes, repents, and believes in his name. The promise is salvation. Trust in God, says Jesus, if you can. All things are possible to the one who believes, who can believe. You see, in the Gospels, the ones that I've offered to you this afternoon, the Gospel narratives, men and women with all kinds of problems come to Jesus. Problems with demons, with the forces of evil and darkness, problems of family problems and such, and they come to Jesus, they're told the same thing, different words, but they're more or less told the same thing in each and every time. Only believe, trust in God if you can. All things are possible. Everything is possible to the one who can believe. Not a question of whether he can. You know, come up with the goods is the question. You know, whether you can believe, says Jesus. But if you can, salvation, the fulfillment of this promise from God will be yours. Come to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. There's salvation in no other. And of course, well, it's the revelation of not, is it not, of his being and character. God manifests in the flesh. You say, what's God like? Who is he like? Well, Jesus. You turn to the Bible, you read the Gospels, and you see what Jesus is like. That's God manifest in the flesh. He is declared God. He is exposed us to the being of God. And what do you find him doing? You find him going about doing good. Even his enemies testified concerning him. On this matter, he only ever went about doing good. Healing the sick and curing the deaf and curing leprosy and, you know, raising the dead, giving eyesight to the blind. No man ever cured the blind, his enemy said, but this man did. So that's what God's like. You see him going about, you know, you see pity and compassion and kindness. You know, but at the same time, firmness and justice in the face of evil and wickedness, and especially unbelief. One thing that made Jesus angry, well, two things really. You know, unbelief, people, unbelief, that made him really angry. And self-righteous people, those who think they're okay, you know. Those who think they're not sinners like other men and look down their respectable religious or secular noses at other people who are worse than them. Despicable self-righteousness God hates and has got nothing to say to the self-righteous. So you see, promise from the God who cannot lie, the revelation of his being and character, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. It's his invitation, not mine. It's him who invites you. You're all wearied by your sin, your body broken or being broken. Your soul, you know, lost on the pathway to perdition. Maybe, who knows? I don't know, maybe death is just around the corner for you. You know, there's 1,000,000,000 ways in which the youngest and the fittest and the strongest of you can be removed from this world, you know, in a nanosecond if God so pleases. It's a point, it's going to happen. Sooner or later, one day or another, it's going to happen. Because it's appointed for man to die once. And then, of course, well, you see, nobody ever came back to tell us, yes, he did, Jesus did, and he tells you, after this, then comes the judgment, he says. You stand before God and you give account for every careless word you speak. So, you see, people, you just don't know. You see, it's the days, well, the time is short, the Bible says. And so I urge you to repent and believe the gospel. I urge you to turn and be saved to God, the only God, the true and living God, the God of the Bible, the triune God, through his Son Jesus Christ, and be saved. No other way you can be saved from the weariness and the brokenness of sin, the bondage, the rule of sin in your hearts and lives. No other way, people. No other Savior. No other Savior, only Jesus. Christ who died for the ungodly. Christ who died for sinners, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that he would. So look, and look now, turn now. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. Your need, people, is urgent. More urgent than you think. You think you got plenty of time. You think, you know, well, you know, I'm young, not so old, got a few years to go yet, maybe, you think. No, the need is urgent. Your nation and your world is going, as one person termed it to me, is going to hell in a handbasket. It just seems to me just one spark from hell and the whole world will be ablaze again with war. Thousands and millions, more than any other war before has ever been. There'll be widespread slaughter. Now, people, it's not getting better. You're an evolutionist, you need to think about this. You're not evolving. You're not evolving at all. You're degenerating. You see, you used to be monkeys and apes, and now you're human beings. Well, you behave worse than monkeys and apes. You're degenerating, you're getting worse, not better. If evolution were true, don't you think you would be evolving into something better than men killers and women killers? Don't you think you'd be developing into something better than murderers and rapists? That's not the case, is it? That's not the case. It's getting worse. Just as the Bible said it would towards the end, worse and worse. Till the Antichrist appears and steps up to the plate. Then God destroys him and the entirety of the world as we know it today. Judges the world in righteousness. All flesh shall be justified by God. We shall all appear before the judgment throne of Christ. So the need is urgent. Now is the time. You don't have tomorrow. You don't even have tonight yet. Never mind tomorrow. Now is the only time you've got. Now is the accepted time, says God. Day of His grace and favor, when men and women can be saved. Seek the Lord while He may be found, says God. The implication there is that He won't always be to be found. Seek Him while He is near. He comes near, He comes close to you in the proclamation of the gospel, in the declaration of His love and grace. His favor, His saving grace, that is. Time will soon be gone. Sand is running through the glass. The clock is ticking. It's well past noon. Midnight's coming. Night's coming when no man can work. This is the work that God would have you to be about. This is the work of God, says Jesus, that you believe on Him whom He sent. That's Jesus Himself. Sent Him to be a Savior. Did He send Him to be your Savior? Time's now, because the time is God's choosing, not yours. You don't come now, you might never come. You don't come now, you might never hear His call again. Might never pass this way again. Might never hear the overtures of His love again. Maybe this is your only, maybe this is your last time. So you see, people, it's urgent. The time is God's choosing, the time is short. Turn to Me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other, and no other Savior. Other people, worse maybe than yourself, others have turned, others have looked to Jesus Christ and found salvation. Why shouldn't you? Why should you be excluded? There is no sin deeper, I tell you, than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Whatever you've been, whatever you've been doing, whatever catalogue of sins, crimes against God lies behind you, whatever you've been sleeping, whoever you've been sleeping with, there's grace, there's favor, there's salvation to be found. The hope of the nations, God's Son, Jesus Christ, and your hope, your only hope. So people, look and live. There's life for a look at the crucified one, the Savior Jesus Christ who died. That life and love and liberty, that all these might be yours and more. The blessings of God's covenant in heaven. Through the delight of heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, whom God gave up to the death of the cross. That through Him that you might be saved. Is it nothing? Nothing to you who pass by? That Jesus, as the Son of God, should come and live and die and rise again from the dead, and you just pass on by, you couldn't care less. Well, people, in spite of that, God calls. Outwardly, at least, anyway, he calls, turn to me, turn, turn. Why will you die? He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that you should turn and live. Turn, turn, turn. Why will you die? Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Turn to him today in the way of repentance, in the way of faith. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, you'd like to check these things out for yourself. See that they are so in accordance with the Bible, with the Word of God. Copy of God's Word is offered to you. Extract from the Bible. Yours to take and do with as you will. Offered to you free of charge without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. You'd like one, come and ask for one.